With CarGurus Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and CarGurus Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder CarGurus is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with CarGurus at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.
A flying clothesline, a 2x4 to the face. Then she hits you with a turnbuckle splash. Wrestle Club Podcast. Whisakisa. It's her and her friends. And they talk about wrestling, every kind of wrestling. Woo!
Ladies and gentlemen, between, welcome to a brand new episode of the Wrestle Club UK podcast. We are still recording this from the fringe. Yeah, boy. And I'm here with the Fluffy Boy.
Let's go. Hi, Danny.
Hi, Ebs. How are you?
I'm good.
I saw him like 5 hours ago.
It is 4 o'clock in the afternoon. You saw him 5 hours ago.
I'm not good at maths. Not that many hours ago. We said goodbye.
Danny, I talked to Ibs on a previous episode about this, but I want to ask your opinion.
Go on.
Hogan.
Yep.
How do you feel?
Why are you both?
I love how we're both situated where we are. Go on.
I can't rest in peace. No. I can't think of anything he's done wrong. It's a shame that he tarnished his own shit with everything else he did. Very intense for the first conversation I'm having today. This is the first conversation I've had with anyone today. I've run past multiple comedians on the way here, and they're like, tell me Hulk Hogan. I'm like, oh shit. Massive racist. But yeah, if it weren't for him, I suppose wrestling wouldn't be where it is now. So it's a bit of a shame for wrestling fans, I think. But did I care? Not really.
What are you really enjoying at this moment in time, boys?
Not this question. I'm enjoying that we've moved on from that. What I am enjoying. What, in wrestling, you mean? Dominic Mysterio.
Yeah.
Dominic Mysterio every single day of my life.
And actually, like, I'm, even though now it's like the end of days for the Judgment Day, I am really enjoying how, like, that they are individually showing themselves, but it's also they are really good as tag teams. Like, Finn and JD are good. So are Roxanne and Raquel.
Raquel.
I think they're a boss tag team. I like. It feels like.
Can't wait for Liv.
As much
back.
As yeah, yeah, it'll be intriguing to see how what Liv goes down. But like, they look so much more together as this iteration of the Judgment Day than they've ever been, which is crazy.
What do you feel about Solo Sikoa's new family?
I think the names.
What does MFTs mean?
My
motherfucking tribal tree.
MFT. My family tree.
Oh,
my family tree.
Okay.
My family tree.
Yeah. You know what? I actually really like Solo, though.
You know what? I really enjoy Solo at the moment. His performance is hilarious. Yeah. His performance is just like.
He's his face. The way he's like, he did like the pen and stuff. I think he's actually so underappreciated.
I know. He's actually really funny.
I think now the pressure's off because, like, we were all saying that he, like, when he was in the Bloodline, he was the person that was going to, like, ruin it. He was going to be the next one up.
And then Jacob came.
Yeah. And I feel maybe, like, originally it might have like irked him or might have like messed up his shine or whatever, but like I think now the pressure's off of him. I think he's become an actual character, whereas when he pulled up he was just the quiet hench guy in the corner. So yeah,
now he's got some sort of persona and persona.
I was actually watching videos of him recently. It would come out when he had the head thing, bare feet, and like not saying a word. And you just cut to him now. So like,
And also, like,
what a mad change.
And also, his theme song is my favorite theme song.
Is it?
We're ready for war.
It's cold. Open the pit, man.
Yeah, listen. We're ready for war. That's jumped on the gym playlist for sure, bruv.
Can I ask your opinion then, in terms of this? Who do you think is going to become world women's champion next?
Is it going to? We spoke about this.
Okay.
No, we didn't.
But I'm talking about in between Jade and Stephanie. Who's going to become it first?
Stephanie.
I think Stephanie. Yeah,
Stephanie's more. He doesn't rate Stephanie Vaquer. Yeah.
No, it's not because I don't rate. I just think
you don't rate her.
It's just.
I rate her.
People rate her ass. Do you know what I mean? It's that move. Mate, tell me. Oh, I said this to you, and you looked at me as if like, yeah, you've got a point. It's like the move is so over.
No, shout out like, Booker T in it. Booker T made that move over.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But like, what I'm saying is like watching.
Sorry, that's
yeah, great, great podcast. Thank you.
Ibs is not having an orgasm right now.
Yeah, like audio listeners go, what the fuck
is going on?
Nah, if you know, you know.
We're talking about that move, and you start going, ah. Not everyone who listens might know that.
You know now.
Ah. For your sake, please look it up.
Well, we have got a guest for this episode.
Yeah,
Wrestle Club Podcast.
Hi, welcome to the Clubhouse Chatter. They never get me to intro stuff, yeah. But now, there's a Clubhouse Chatter, and I wanted to present to you guys the hardest working comedian in the Fringe. We just see him. I don't even know how we got him. That's how busy he is, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, it is Raul Coley.
Yes!
Yeah! Let's go. Let's go.
Audio listeners are watching.
Everything
but a wrestling podcast on Munchamania. Wow.
That's
so
the worst thing.
I don't know how we're going to edit that together. But fuck me.
You're
going
to have to do it as
you're
going to
keep it in. Keep it
in. For those of you wondering, why did I not introduce it? Because we had such a falafelable my dyslexia and tiredness has kicked in today. How are you doing, mate?
I was good until you forgot who I was as a human being. Yeah, that kind of hurt my feelings. But otherwise, I'm good. I've been tired, as you say. Hardest working man at the Edinburgh Fringe, six hours a day.
How many shows are you doing?
I got six shows over a 13-hour period.
Why?
It wasn't meant to be. I always like to do three or four, but that allows me some time to just have fun and be happy and not want to kill myself every day. Honestly, it is very. When you get that tired, it sort of becomes emotional. That's where I'm at, and I kind of keep a brave face. But I kind of start with the three I've been doing for ages. And then when I went to Australia, I kind of seen the way these concept shows move.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I just thought, I've got no concepts really. Everything's sort of based on my name. And so I started to think about what concepts I'd do. And I came up with a history comedy show and the drinking game show. And I kind of said, oh, if you take these two, I'll just knock the other, like I'm happy to knock the other compilation show. I do the standard one and the crowd work out for these. But he offered me all five. And I just went, oh, okay. That won't be a problem. But my day starts at 10 a.m. and ends at 1 a.m.
Oh,
yeah. And then as well, I got offered a spot where it was like quite a good fee for a 10-minute spot. And I was like, oh, I can fit that in between. But you don't think about the fires you have to put out. It's the organization more than the actual doing the shows or the flyer.
Oh, like that's crazy.
It's when people drop out last minute, you fly.
Yeah,
where it really kind of. I'm going to get a booking next year.
I heard personally the fire on Arthur's seat was you running between one gig and the other.
You, mate.
Well, who was that? I'm not, I don't know.
We're actually, I don't know when this is going out, but we are running a rave at the end of the Fringe on Arthur's seat.
We will be there, fam.
5 a.m. it starts, bro. Monday morning, you're gonna go up there, see me on the one.
My train's at 9:30.
Yeah, bro. I'll be late to DJ.
I might come with my suitcase.
Oh, wait, man.
He's like, you know how I'm gonna end my Fringe? More work,
baby. More work, baby. It's gonna be the best.
How are you
gonna
bucket
off a seat?
How are you gonna bucket off a seat?
I'll figure a way. I got I got two of my friends in their wheelchairs. We've got to organise for getting somebody to carry them up and stuff. This is genuine. You never see anything like this. I want you to figure out when you get up the top of there. Yeah. Like, how the what's going on here? How have they got the decks up? How have they got the guys in wheelchairs?
He's got a wheelchair
what is
section.
Happening?
Oh my god!
It's gonna be lit, bro.
Have you had time to watch wrestling while you've been up here?
I have, but I'll be honest. I have sort of been keeping up with it, just sort of like skipping through. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
On the YouTube highlights, that kind of stuff. Yeah. Because it 2-3 hours. I mean, like I'm watching both at the minute as well, and like that's something like 9 hours of wrestling. I just don't have that too. Yeah.
So it's AEW and WWE.
Yeah. So you don't watch
TNA?
No, I sort of watch. I've been getting back into highlights. I think they've really sort of hit a streak of form recently. I love TNA is actually how I got back into wrestling.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
I sort of like I grew out of it when the Ruthless Aggression era came in. But I always, like, I was WCW as a child, and then my brother made a switch over to WWE just at the right point, may I add.
Yeah.
But back at the time, I remember as a kid, I was livid because, you know, as a child, you're sort of brand loyalty strong, and I'd fallen in love with the NWO, I'd fallen in love with the Wolfpack, it just started. Sting was my number one of all time when I started to see him come down with the rafters. I was just like, what? How do you even do that? That's insane. And then my brother, because do you remember, like, did you ever watch it back then?
Yeah, it was the Monday.
Back then, it was the Friday Night Wars in the UK. But it was TNT, and then one day he was skipping through, and like we landed on Sky Sports 3, and then there was this brawl in the ring between all these people I didn't know and didn't care about, and then I heard this glass shatter, and this bald man came out on a quad bike. I remember my brother, who was 15, being like, "Oh my god, like Kane's here, The Undertaker's here." And then when Stone Cold, he's like, Stone Cold's here. And we started watching that and I was livid, but that was just around the point of the finger poke of doom.
Yeah.
And when both and where WWE creatively got terrible and WWE was just on form and he switched us over then. And I'm really thankful now, but at the time I was livid because, you know, I'd fallen in love with Sting. I mean, luckily I didn't see him like, against Vampiro and all these I just seen the last episode when WWE bought it, but we switched right at the right time. If you remember that as well, I remember because if you stumbled across the channels at that time, it was nuts. Like Sky Sports 3 would just turn into hardcore porn and I remember one time like my parents were quite like I don't think they understood just what wrestling was. They probably shouldn't have been letting a 6, 7, 8 year old child watch that. But they kind of like my mum grew up on like Giant Haystacks and like all those British wrestlers, and it was something that connected her with her dad because they used to watch it together when it was a bit more child friendly. So she let me like watch it, and she was always happy I was watching because it was like a continuation of a tradition she shared with her father. But I remember one time I stumbled upon Bravo, that channel, and I think like I may be embellishing this, but they did set a table. I'm pretty sure it was that scene where the Dudleys set a table on fire and put like a woman through it. And my parents was like, "Yeah, you're not watching that." I don't know why that is, but you're not watching that.
We've got to deal with the feminism.
And the arson.
Forget the arson. Feminism.
Go to the bra and panties match.
Exactly.
Don't put for a fucking table though.
These two women finding like a bowl of chocolate. Yeah, that's more wholesome for the family. Yeah,
like if you're gonna like, you know, like if you hear your child is a teenager, as a young adult, he's gone to a strip club, you might not be, you know, like, that's great, but you're like, well, you know, it's stagnant, whatever, these things can't happen. But if you hear your son put a woman through a flaming table.
With Car Guru's Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and Car Guru's Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder Car Guru's is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with Car Guru's at cargurus.com. Go to cargurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CARGURUS.com. CarGurus.com.
Oh, not a lot of wiggle room for
I was in the same boat where like mum came in and they were doing a live sex show, the famous
Trish.
Sky Sports 3 was gone the next day, bro.
So I'd kind of got out of it when it was like the Ruthless Aggression era, when sort of Cena and Batista were sort of starting. That was kind of when my interest, I turned about 12 years old, I hit puberty, and I was like, everything I was interested in, I gave up. I stopped playing football, I stopped breakdancing. I stopped.
I
stopped watching Wrestling You.
I got puked while doing this.
No, I was just trying to take girls to cinema on Fridays, and you know, that was all I was interested in. I was just trying to finger girls in cinema. One thing I directed my mind to. And even that was productive, I could have led to any particular future. I just packed in. You know? I was just like, girls, cinema, that's what I'm into now, right?
That's it.
Breakdancing was on a Friday. SmackDown was on a Saturday morning and Raw was on a Friday night back then still. Yeah. So I packed all of that in and that was my only interest. But when I was about 15, I made a good friend, Tom McMullen, still very close friends with him, but he lived around the corner from us. We got to know each other quite well and we'd spend these days. And he was still watching wrestling. And he told me that Sting, my number one, was still around.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, what? What? Oh, like Sting?
Around like a bad smell. He's still there.
Hey, his TNA work was phenomenal.
His stuff with Seth Rollins was abysmal.
That was Vince's fault, though. I'm not going to put that on Mr. Steve Borden.
Vince has many faults.
Cash I've got Sting's up there.
When like I found that out, I was like, well, where is he? I thought he'd just be hiding in the rafters that entire time. Just waiting for the time to strike. I was like, what is it? Oh, he's on this
WCW will be back.
Just waiting with his crow.
Some tree in Atlanta, like.
Just replying his place.
Macho Man's up there with him, just like, we're just counting down the days.
They'll call me.
I know he's on this channel called TNA, and that wasn't, I think that might have been on Bravo briefly.
Yeah. And the wrestling channel as well.
Yeah, the wrestling was on Spiked.
427.
We didn't have Spiked in the UK, but it was on something like that. Yeah. One of those weird 127 channels on Sky, you know what I mean? Where you just start getting that weird, like, nobody knows what
the channel's for man.
But they're not even always, sometimes you've got cheaters, you got the weirdest shows ever that come across on there. They're the ones where you just stumble across and where it was like, before the internet, TikTok became a thing. It was like 3 a.m, you got your kebab, you come up from your night out, and you're just stumbling through, and it's usually Family Guy you land on, occasionally you land on something like that, ITV4, that kind of like, those sorts of channels. And I started watching TNA, and I got mad into TNA. I thought TNA was really good. They're the main event mafia stuff.
You know, the
Sting Mick Foley match. I was telling someone the other day they'd never watched TNA, so they couldn't believe Sting and Mankind had had a match together. Yeah. And I remember watching like Mankind and Rick Foley?
Ric Flair and Mick Foley.
That's what I'm going for. Ric Foley. That would have been a character. What, so just a homeless man going, woo! The most crackheads you see, really, in a Ric Foley.
Cowgate, man. It's Ric Foley again.
Well, this is going to be a thing now, isn't it? Yeah.
Ric Foley.
But Ric Flair and Mick Foley had a hardcore match, and I thought, this is going to be the worst thing ever. Like, Mick can't move his knees. An alcoholic, they're like 65 plus, and it was one of the best hardcore matches I've ever seen in my life. Like, it was really, really good.
So, was Sting your favorite wrestler growing up?
As a child, and then I kind of forgot about him. Kids are, you know, they'll just move with the wind, weren't they? So, when we switched over, I'd say I had a top five, and it's a peculiar, like, The Rock was in there. Larger than life, the charisma, he knew perfectly the whole kayfabe and the faking until he made. And you see a little bit of that when you watch, like, The Young Rock now. Kane, I just love people who could just turn up, fuck things up. Can we swear on this podcast?
We've done it loads.
We're talking about you fingering bones. And also, when you walked on, you were like, fuck it, you forgot. We're so deep in now. What a weird time. Like, can I swear on it? Live sex shows and everything. It's a bizarre thing.
I just kind of realized I said it, but I thought you might edit it out. And I was like, because I just want to make it as easy for you as possible to edit. But like Kane, people who just come up, fuck things up, and disappear. I love, because he was a bit of a sting in that sense. You know what I mean? They'd come from nowhere, they'd be a bit creepy, and they'd just tear shit up and disappear. Like when I remember, and so it's them two, Stone Cold, X-Pac, I really like X-Pac. The music.
X-Pac!
I never knew that's what they were saying. I thought it was like, I didn't know what he was saying. Yeah. Make some noise. You think you could tell us what to wear? And Jeff Hardy were my top five. Jeff Hardy had the manliest man painting his nails. You know what I mean? 100%. Like, I was diving off of everything Swanton Bomb. And I learned a Swanton Bomb, I learned a worm, I learned a spin-a-rooney, I learned the eyebrow. As a kid, I really wanted to be Howard Finkel.
Really? Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the ring, weighing in at 300 pounds, Rikishi! I've always wanted to be a ring announcer. Yeah, I think I got the pipes for
it.
If you did that and then busted into some breakdancing afterwards.
Spin a really hard finger.
Rikishi! So Scotty T-Hotty comes out, you're just doing a dance with him.
I love them three though, too cool. When they that Royal Rumble scene. But I remember when Kane and X-Pac had that tag team. I thought they were like, and I love that. That was my favorite tag team ever, more so than Rock and Sock Connection. And then when X-Pac betrayed him.
For Tori Wilson.
That broke my heart as a child.
It wasn't even Tori Wilson, it was the other Tori.
Oh, was it?
It was just Tori.
I was still heartbroken over that. But then when Kane came back with Paul Bearer. Stephanie was in and like... Jerry the King's kind of like, it's a bit, you look back on it now and he's you don't have to look back on it, he's still with like a child now, he's a bit dodgy, but you look back and he's like, oh Stephanie, come closer, and like the darkness goes out and you hear, that's I think when Kane first switched to black and the red, he switched them the colours, and then he started to introduce the organ into the thing, and oh my, that was one of the best returns ever, that was my top five in WWE.
So did you get into wrestling via your brother?
I got into everything via my brother. Not fingering women at the cinema, but
that was all you.
That was there. But all my interest when I was a kid, everything I got interested to was via my brother. My music taste, he was my older brother. My dad was at the shop because some stereotypes are true. And he was just typical immigrant. He worked 364 days a year, 12 hours a day. He was on, started at 6 a.m. You wonder where my work ethic comes from. He started at 6 a.m. and he would finish at 10 p.m. So I didn't really like, I love my dad. I appreciate what he's doing now, but I didn't really see him. I was able to like, you know, sort of look up to him as a character and idolize him the way I did my brother. He became my male role model, and everything I was into and did was through him.
Ah. Was your dad also DJing?
On a hill.
That's what he did from 10 to 6 after.
He's like, you know what's on
1 second? Not quite. I would have loved to see that. You walk to my dad's shop and he's got the one. Boss man.
DJ Boss Man. Fuck it.
That's my DJ name. You've just right there. We got you. DJ Boss Man.
DJ Boss Man. I was going to go for Daddy Caramel, but.
Daddy Caramel works there. Yeah, no.
But I like DJ Bosman
works.
So you obviously mentioned that you watch both WWE and AEW. Which one is your preference at the moment?
At the minute, do you know what? I'm flipping with the wind here. It's AEW at the minute. I think WWE's kind of gone a little bit stale and they don't. I think they're sort of a bit... for me, AEW went on just this like kind of nosedive after the whole Punk Jungle Boy saga. And then kind of creatively couldn't find their feet because you see that happens in wrestling. That's what I think makes fascinating. Like real things happen and then screw up every storyline they've got planned. So you've seen it at the minute with the Travis Scott WWE fallout. Yeah. I kind of don't know which direction to sort of go in with that because everything they planned is now just falling to shit. It's kind of happening with AEW, I think, with the Hurt Business and MJF. I thought that was a really fascinating little storyline and they put the brakes on it too soon. And there wasn't really a comeuppance.
Yeah.
So I don't know who the comeuppance was meant to go, whether it was meant to be the Hurt Business or WWE. But you hear about this heat backstage.
I was saying the boys don't really watch AEW, which is annoying.
I try my best.
YouTube.
You try your best with all your hoeing.
I probably wouldn't be like, I still think as an adult, like it just got to the point where WWE was so creatively devoid for me.
Yeah.
That it wasn't that I'd grown out of wrestling. I just thought Vince was just taking me for a ride. Yeah. 3 hours of having my intelligence insulted. I was like, I can't deal with this anymore. So I kind of just completely was out of wrestling for a bit. And then in the past, a lot of people have been telling me AEW was the vibe, right? And then my mate, he was trying to get me on it. And I was like, bro, I've just got too much on. Like, wrestling's not for me anymore. I've had my intelligence insulted too much. Cause I think wrestling for me is at its best when it's either, I think they're doing good stuff with the WWE at the minute with the works and the shoots and you're not knowing that kind of thing. Like, for me,
the Seth Rollins.
That was perfect.
Yeah, the Seth Rollins injury, Karrion Kross getting released. Like, for me, R-Truth getting released. It probably was deliberate with the fact that you can never be sure. I think
I've had the audience decide on whose contract does get
extended. That's how it should be in a democracy manifest, like, right?
No, we like him.
I think we should bring back Carlito. He used to talk about the judgment day before. Carlito was like, yeah, I thought John Cena was always going to be a good guy like me. Like, I was buckled and I was sat home just cracking up on myself.
He's class, man.
He's so funny, but when...
When Dom was going for the stuff with Liv and he kept like looking down and going, that's not cool.
And then the fact that there was a nice touch when like the PlayStation disappeared, when Carlito disappeared.
Yeah,
what's Carlito's PlayStation? He's like that ugly member of Blue, is he? Just there because he's got the PlayStation. But that moment when Razor Ramon... That moment when Razor Ramon and Kevin Nash jumped over the barrier, I feel for me that kind of set wrestling on what it's kind of meant to be in the 90s and the post-internet era where you kind of guess. But also, we all know it's kayfabe, it's scripted. And so I still think it's also it's best on the complete opposite side of the spectrum when it's just ludicrous, when it's almost like too outrageous and you're like, that's obviously fake, but it's the funniest thing I've seen in my life. So these people are telling us again, AEW, nah. And then like the pandemic struck, right? The only thing still on are WWE. That was the funniest thing ever, how they got the emergency worker. Like it was the ambulance drivers, the police, and the wrestlers. Like key workers. Just because Vince had a good agreement, I was friends with Ronda, I thought it was the funniest thing I'd ever heard of. But WWE was kind of like, I kind of wasn't really that into it, but I stumbled upon AEW just flicking through looking for TV. And somebody's doing the thumbtack spot. I think it was like Brian Cage. And I was like, all right, you know what? They're bringing hardcore back. But I still wasn't that like, I'm like, in this day and age with everything we know about chair shots and CET and Chris Benoit and all this, I'm like, you know, do we really want that hardcore back? And like, is that something I really kind of want? And I'm not even that, but you know, it's not that original. I've seen a thumbtack spot a million, you know, I've seen good old Ric Foley, right? But then Brian Cage pulls out the thumbtacks. It's not thumbtacks, it's Lego bricks. And he powerbombs someone the Lego bricks, and JR's just there going, oh my God, Tony, have you ever stood on a Lego brick barefoot in your house? That has got to hurt. And again, I was just buckled, and I was like, all right, I'm tuned in here.
Wrestle Club Podcast.
So what did you think about the last Texas death match with Adam Hadman Page and John Moxley?
And John Moxley.
John Moxley spots he's done over the last couple of years.
Was brutal in its
kebab skewers in their heads, drinking blood, suffocating with a bag.
I think my question is, do you think AEW take it too far?
A little bit. I just remember seeing that quickly on Twitter before I watched the match. And I thought he had pasta in his head.
I would have owned a mind at that. You get spaghetti somehow in his forehead.
Yeah, I think for me, it's just, I don't think as an art form, it's really got the... I felt that there was this beautiful period in the pandemic, or just after the pandemic, when AEW got in there, when they had like a little bit of the... Like Nick Gage, I thought was hilarious. I just thought he was too funny in the MJF sort of five like matches where he brought back all these amazing people like Juventud Guerrero, sort of mess with Chris Jericho. But I thought like they had this brilliant, like little bit of hardcore, a little bit of the it nailed all the long-term compelling storylines, but they had a little bit of hardcore, they had a little bit of lucha libre, they had a little bit of everything. I thought was right. I think they've gone a bit too much in the hardcore, and for me it's just kind of like, in this day and age when we kind of know it's kayfabe, I just don't understand what the point is of putting everybody through this, like the injection thing, if you remember that. Like, it's just unnecessary. And I think it's just kind of like, I thought it was this brilliant bit where everyone kind of hated him, but I really liked it when Dan Lambert and Team America started invading WWE.
Yeah, he was a proper arsehole. It was what you needed. Like,
but I thought it was good. It was kind of like UFC versus AEW. Fighters versus wrestlers. What's the vibe here? And I just thought, that's kind of where we are. And it was a predictor of what's to come if you look at how TKO have bought WWE and merged the pair. But it was kind of like, ooh, that's interesting. But with this extremes, I was like, okay, I know you can take pain, but like, I don't want to be reminded I'm watching stuntmen. Do you know what I mean? For me, it's just kind of a little bit too far. It's like, I love it when, you know, Hangman Adam Page burns down Swerve Strickland's house. I'm like, that's hilarious. My son still pisses the bed. He's got PTSD. I'm like, it's so far the other way. But with the extreme wrestling, I like a bit of it. Some of the, like that tag team match at Money in the Bank was good. But I felt like this Texas Death Match was... I don't know. For me, it's not for me. Yeah, but I'm aware that I'm not the dictator of, you know, what is popular.
Because
it's just not for me.
You're intending to go to AEW.
Yes, I'm going next Wednesday. I'm buzzing because for the last few years they've done it All Out, and I've told me mate I can't go down because
we're all in Edinburgh.
I actually had to go with Jack White all about this. I met him in the like loft bar, and he was there with Tom Stade, who's a good friend of mine. I know Jack loosely now because I've bumped into him a few times, but we're not best of friends. Really. He took it quite literally. I was quite surprised, and I was like, "I've got a bone to pick with you. You're best friends with Tony Khan. Will you tell him to stop running AEW All Out when the fringe is on? Because I can't go." And he's like, "Well, actually, I can't go either, and I'm such a massive fan." I was like, "All right, bro, I was joking. I didn't mean that literally.
Calm down.
Can we just have a word, please?"
And then I just left. It was quite awkward. What a way to make an impression. Jack White all hates us now.
Jack White didn't get a joke. That's mad. I would never would have thought.
God damn.
Cuss him out on air. No, I didn't. I'm just saying it was mad. Successful comedian. Too excited for AEW?
I'm buzzing for it. Like, the tapings are never quite as good as the moves. Oh my God. Look, he hates me already. I'm not kidding.
I'm just trying to set up a match, mate. That's the only way it won't be in the fridge if you and Jack White go 1-on-1 in a death match.
I remember actually watching one of the first episodes of AEW, and then when he came out, I had out a belt, and like just nobody in America knew who he was.
I
was like, that's awesome. I love stuff like that. When they bring people back like that. I've got AEW Dynamite, very excited for it. The tapings are never quite as fun as the pay-per-views.
The pay-per-views are too long.
Yeah, but the pay-per-views are just like epic in a way that the tapings can. I remember watching Raw taping at university, and it just wasn't quite as, but it was Raw back in its PG era. I went to a TNA. It wasn't a recording, but it was just like a live event, and that was unbelievable at the MEN Arena. I had the best time. Skive School. bought a carton of wine. Like, guys that, like, literally played hooky. Yeah. It was like, and we drove down to Manchester, stayed in Sasha's hotel. You could smoke inside and sick. Just got on it and watched the rest and had the best fucking time. It was amazing. But I'm excited for this AEW Dynamite. Me and the manager of the Counting House are going kind of Easby. But I kind of wish I was more at Forbidden Door. Do you know what I mean?
That would
be
wild. But we can't do it. Are you guys, why aren't you
no.
Dynamite?
We're here. Oh, I can't afford it. It's too expensive. When you told me the time, you told me the tickets you were getting, I was like, baby, that is the 5 days. That's the six shows you're doing. That'd be able to pay for that.
I'm taking that Wednesday off, having somebody, I just do the compilation. Yeah. Have somebody standing.
Oh, I thought you were still going to somehow do the six shows.
No.
He's still worried about doing the shows and he runs AEW.
On Zoom. He's doing them on Zoom. That's what he's doing.
Hey, guys.
Imagine if you come up the rave on the last day and you just see like AEW wrestlers in a ring. Like, how did you get out of there? What is going on? Yeah, no. I'm taking the Wednesday off. I'll have a lie-in and then I'm just going to just start having a few pints because that's the last weekend anyway. That's the last stretch, and that's when I get on it a bit. Fred's usually from the So You Think You're Funny party. I'll have a first drink and I'll have a good time. But for me, it's going to be Wednesday through the Monday now. I'm going to just have a few drinks, go there, watch a rest, and I can't wait for it. But yeah, because it's not live, there probably won't be as many commercials and stuff like that, bits where you're waiting around. Yeah. So I'm pretty excited. Yeah, but it is expensive. But I tell you what, I can see why they're not selling out. it's the tickets are still like, there's a lot of tickets available.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, is this at the Hydro?
But it's that economic concept, price discrimination.
What was it called?
Price discrimination, where you try and get as much money from each other.
I thought you were talking about
so
dynamic.
If I was them, I'd just crash the price the day before. Have a full arena. It's going to look sick. But, you know, they've been doing these 1,100. That place where it looked like Casa Benitez. Did you see the recent AEW?
Guys
in a Mexican restaurant? But I would just crash the price and just have a full arena. Sick, do you know what I mean?
So in terms of like I say WWE and AEW, what is your current favourite thing that's happening at the moment? What storyline or what?
For
feud?
Me, having been invested into it in 5 years and the way they're drip feeding it in and just getting to the long-term storytelling, that MJF Hangman, when it gets to it, I just think you're watching two of the best homegrown AEW produced.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I've not imported anyone over. That's homegrown.
Yeah.
And it's just, I think they're two brilliant cats. And particularly with Hangman, do you know what I mean? It didn't quite work out with him with CM Punk and there was a big fallout there. Yeah. And CM Punk is one of my favourites. Him calling him an idiot and an airhead. Now, I thought it was nasty. I thought it was uncalled for, but I don't know what happened backstage. I don't know what's going on between him and Colt Cabana. So I don't want to get drawn into that. All I know is that I've always loved Hangman. And every iteration of Hangman I've really enjoyed. And just the concept of the anxious millennial cowboy. He's in his own way, the Stone Cold Steve Austin of his time. Yeah. And he's just connected with me in the way that he's connected with lots of people. Do you know what I mean? He's the number one for a reason. But I think when that's going to happen,
you've
got two independent wrestlers who've gone through AEW. And when that comes to, I'm buzzing for that. Yeah,
I think I remember him when he was just like alcoholic Hangman Page.
That was hilarious as well. Just drinking backstage.
Beers putting him down.
And even that storyline was so long term in terms of like, in the way the kayfabe meshed with the what was real in terms of Brody Lee, unfortunately, tragically passing. And then his kids sort of coming in, but it was like this Dark Order would just walk around, became a comic group. Like they just lost their horror edge. Of, like, who the hell are these people? Like, and they all were funny in their own, like Mero Uno, John Silver. They were just funny people. Generally, John Silver being so short, it's just adding something. All of them just walking around like without a leader backstage. Like, oh, what do we do? And we've all been there. We're like, you lose your purpose a little bit. Like, what the hell do I do with my life? And there was such a comic element. And then Hangman Adam Page, he'd fallen out with the EVPs, and he'd fallen out with the Elite. And back then, even Omega was a bad guy, and he was kind of like this sort of pathetic. You had these pathos. It was a Greek sort of like element to him, this tragic element. And then like, the Elite still be like, oh, you want to drink? Like, you're an alcoholic. Yeah. Let us down. And then being like, you know, we all get problems. Don't worry. Like, and then him becoming the de facto leader. And that moment, it was the 2021 Fringe, best Fringe ever, by the way, because 11 of us came up and made all of the money. But it was that Fringe. I remember, like, I didn't fly once, sold out every room. Oh, it was brilliant. But just, I remember, see, that was when wrestling felt cool again. It felt like the start of something new because CM Punk came back. Brian switched sides, he joined WWE. And the fact that he had Adam Cole and then Brian. But that one, there was a match between the Elite and the Dark Order, and their entrances were something out of this world. Because the Dark Order came out, and then it was like, what is it that makes a cowboy?
Yeah.
It's not the boots. It's not the hat. It's the sticking up for your friends and picking them back up and getting up when you get not in the horse. And then all of them come out with the purple bandanas looking like Grove Street.
And you're like, fuck it.
I actually put it on my playlist. It kind of ruined the vibe a bit, but I'm just like, you know, I mean, had all these. But then I thought, how they're gonna top that? And then the Elite came out, that Space Jam. Y'all ready for this? And they came out bouncing balls, and it was like, and it was just the opening few seconds, and it wasn't even a pay per view. It was a Dynamite, and that's what Dynamite did well. Then they made every episode feel like those Monday Night Raws during the war. Every episode felt like must-see television. Every episode felt like a pay-per-view. And I remember that so vividly. I was up to like 3 a.m. just going, this is the best thing I've ever seen in my life.
So we asked you before you came on here, if you was to have a dinner party, what three people, wrestlers or maybe people associated with wrestling, that you would invite to your dinner party?
Just try to sleep there and Tori Wilson.
Welcome to the Bunda Club.
Bunda Club podcast. He's taking them all to the cinema on a Friday night.
You want to go see Van Helsing, Trish? I actually have a whole story. I don't know if you want it in my show, in my solo show, about vividly remembering the first time I got a sexually induced erection from watching Trish Stratus.
Yeah. No, mine was definitely McMahon, to be fair.
The first time you were horny, I was watching WWE. SmackDown. 10 years old.
So would it be really Lita? Tori
I mean, it would be, but like, let's try and make myself look like I've got more integrity. like I'm not just a testosterone-driven male. Howard Finkel.
Get him in.
How to get them pipes, baby? No, let me think about this. Who would be the best? You know, at first glance, I think like Ric Flair, but I think he just probably like, at first he tells some good stories, and then they just again become like pervy. And you probably ruin the vibe a bit.
Yeah. Just start repeating the same stories. You're like, Rick, yeah, you've told me that.
Yeah, I think I'd have Hulk Hogan, Bobby Lashley, and Farouk. Just to see how that panned out.
And Jesse Ventura in the background. Yeah, get him.
You can walk out of the cage. That's bullshit. I love Jesse Ventura. I think who's probably got the most interesting life stories there? And who's probably got the most to tell you? I don't know if CM Punk, but he probably start complaining about your cooking or something. Yeah. Everyone I've
is
thought
is this
of,
organic? Yeah. Like, fuck off, Phil.
CM Punk's having a nice time. Seth Rollins comes in and ruins it anyway.
Everyone I've thought of,
having a nice time.
I've immediately thought of like a negative to them. Do you know what I mean? I'd love to have Kane, and then he'd just be like, oh, you know, this is what I don't believe in. I'll be like, oh, don't bring your politics to my table. Yeah. Same with The Undertaker.
That's Kane, not Glenn Jacobs, though. You're bringing him as the character, but he wouldn't say much.
Yeah.
But, hey.
Yeah, you'd invite Bret Hart.
Immediate barbecue.
Bret Hart, he'd just start cussing out like Goldberg too. Yeah. Talking about it. I wouldn't want Goldberg, he'd be boring. The Boogeyman, that'd just be funny, wouldn't it? I'd probably say Mick Foley. I think he's got a lot to talk about. We've got some crossover there. He probably knows some people I know. Yeah. So I don't know if you know the comedian. You should get him on the podcast if you get him. He's based in Newcastle, but Carl Hutchinson. Big into wrestling, and he's told me some funny stories.
I've seen him a few times, and every time we've met, we just talk wrestling.
Yeah, he's big into it. Me and him, we had some lovely car shares back in the day when I used to support him. And he's big into wrestling, and he told me some fascinating stories about when Mick Foley came, he was like, he would support Mick. Yeah. And you know, like, they just got these crazy stories about them eating cheeseburgers at like 2 a.m. after a show in McDonald's car park in the car. And like, he told me about how, like, you know, he can't move his knee. Like, Mick is just like that. Do you know what I mean? He struggles to put on socks because of everything he's put his body through. But these are fast. I think Mick's a very interesting guy, good talker. But apparently, Carl cracked a joke, like, just told me, like, it's a bit of a shame what they've done with Kane. Like, he was scary Kane, then he was half scary Kane, then they took the mask off him, and now he's just. Just a dude, isn't he? Yeah. Just a dude in a suit. And like, Mick went and told him that, and Kane was like, yeah, I agree. That's hilarious. I imagine you make an observation about Kane, and Kane hears about him. Mick Foley, he's in there. I would have once upon a time said Dwayne The Rock Johnson, but I just think like, he'd probably be a bit too corporate now, do you know what I mean? He'd probably do his best to please, and you wouldn't really get the authentic Dwayne Johnson. Yeah. You'd get the man who's the board, the chair of the board of TKO. And I think Stone Cold Steve Austin would be sick.
Yeah.
Mick Foley and Stone Cold smashing beers, eating barbecue. JR, because he'd provide the herbs and that, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Barbecue sauce.
And the sauce.
I would say Jeff Hardy, but like, what if he starts shooting up at the table, you know?
Every party gets Jeff Hardy. He walks in at 5 a.m. You go, we ain't going home.
He's coming to rave. You know what I mean? He's going to be there. He's bringing the pills.
Bob off the seat.
He was the one who set the fire escape ready for the inferno match. I think if the food wasn't a problem, if the food had already been sorted, I'd say Stone Cold, Mick Foley, Jeff Hardy. I think Jeff Hardy's actually a massive inspiration for me. Just the way he thinks about the universe and stuff, I find fascinating past these wrestlers. I don't know if you've ever heard him talk on podcasts.
Yeah.
But he's like, yeah. And I've had addiction problems as well. I know I joked about it, but there's some sort of similarity there. Sort of like need for extreme. I think there is a bit of a similarity there. So I think I would say them three, if food is an issue, probably going to cut out my first choice, Mick Foley. I think Stone Cold and Jeff Hardy would be a hell of a just interesting chat.
Yeah.
And I'd probably say JR just for the munch.
That's a good chat.
He does all the seasoning.
Seasoning and barbecue sauce. Wrestle Club Podcast. So obviously, like I said, I watch AEW. You watch AEW. Yep. The boys don't really watch AEW. Some people at home don't really rate AEW. What would you say to convince people to watch AEW?
Lego bricks, man. Convince them to AEW. I don't know, because I think like if you're not open minded to it, it's the same people who are just AEW and won't go to WWE because they think they're like alternate or something. Like if you're not, like, you're closed minded, you're a freak. Get over yourself. Like that's what I would say. I'd take my heels and because I just think if you're so committed to a brand, you're not going to switch. But I'm always like, there might be a party going on over there. Like growing up, I was a hip hop and R&B and a house music kid. And then my brother, like, that's what he got me into. And then I met these goths. And I just became friends with these goths. And they weren't even goths. They were just in a classic rock. But they had long hair and that. Yeah. I thought they were weird. Like, I didn't listen to Nirvana.
They looked a little bit like Sting, mate. And you got excited.
One of them came from the rafters. Just fell out of the roof. All right, mate, were you? But they took us all these concerts that I would never have thought to go to. Like Deep Purple, Guns N' Roses, Velvet Revolver. And I was very privileged. I didn't realise I was watching some of the biggest rock bands of their time. Yeah, and because of that, I realised there was a vibe at these places and just I wasn't in on it. And I kind of realised, I'm the problem. Like, I'm closed-minded at these sounds of the guitar. But it's clearly a vibe. These people are connecting with their soul.
Oh, the connection. I'm the issue here.
So you're the issue. Tune into AEW and you will enjoy it. I just think, like, in 20 years' time, I genuinely think MJF and potentially Hangman Adam Page will be on the Mount Rushmore of wrestling, generally. They'll probably both go through WWE, but when Hangman Adam Page, if he ever comes to debuts at WrestleMania, is like, you know the way Cody did?
And it was like CM Punk's, when he came out. TNA grown. And then it was like, you heard him at Royal Rumble, you're like, no, it's actually him.
Because you never knew the theme tune. I was like, this theme tune, they don't want, no. They don't want. And I was like, who the hell is this?
Phenomenal. You're like,
the hood came up. I was like, can you imagine CM Punk's way to see his mystery opponent is the headline, like, WrestleMania? We wouldn't headline WrestleMania with the mystery opponent, but he's doing a mystery opponent, and then you just hear the boom.
What is
the
Demetri Cowboy?
Hangman
comes up on a horse.
Yeah, oh my God.
WrestleMania, they would get him on the horse.
That was what I thought made AEW, and actually, some of WWE's best stuff during the pandemic came from AEW. Because they went for that whole, like, Thunderdome. AEW went, we're just going to, like, have an empty arena match. We're going to have a guy on a horse. That was crazy, and I think WWE actually takes some of their best ideas from AEW, so you watch at the source. But if you want to see what I think are going to be the Mount Rushmore of wrestling, two of the five, before they actually get over to the other side, before they become those big time wrestlers, get into AEW now.
Lovely. Now, before we end the podcast, thank you so much for coming. We're going to do our blind ranking. So I'm going to give you five wrestlers who went to AEW from WWE. And you need to rate them in order, one being the highest, five being the lowest.
And I don't know who the next one is.
You don't know who the next one is, and you can't change your mind.
Okay.
So
okay.
You're ranking them on who's done better or who's the favourite?
Or maybe who your favourite is, or which one you think has done better. Maybe like your top five.
So if I put one in and then somebody comes in and like, let's have this.
You can't change it.
No.
Ready?
What a torturous game. Yeah, go on.
Okay.
It really pisses you off sometimes, but honestly, you'll hear the
imagine,
first one.
I can't imagine.
Okay, we're going to start off with FTR.
I love their theme tune, you know. They've really connected. I didn't like them at all in WWE, but in AEW, I love the pink. I love the doon 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 doon. I could play that rave.
Oh, you
it's actually my DJ playlist. I was thinking about I could drop that into a rave and nobody would know. You weren't in a wrestling match, it's a banger.
DJ Bossman.
And I like what they're going on with there. Have you seen what's going on with there?
Yeah, I see
it. Yeah, with Stokely.
Yeah, it's great.
I'm shut! I can't get no hoes! I've been fighting over! That's one of the funniest bros I've heard. I'm going to say just because I reckon, I'm going to say three.
Three?
For me, okay. Oh, this might piss me off because it could be four.
Okay. John Moxley.
5 for me, you know.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's controversial. I loved when he first came over. I just think that, like, ultra-violence, it's not for me. Like, you know what I mean? Same. I know who the tough guys are, and you can take pain, but, like, in a one-on-one square go, like, it doesn't mean anything, and that's actual violence. Mm. Like, Eddie Kingston, he's, like, you know, he's a terrifying guy. He might not be stupid enough to take pasta to his head or whatever it is, but I just think, John Moxley, for me, he's kind of lost me with the sort of direction he's taken.
Swerve Strickland.
I like what he's doing, but I think he's got made off Prince Nana, you know. The gothic sort of, like, he's doing some good things, but it was that moment when he come out with Nana, and he's just this gothic depressed guy with eyeliner. It's such a happy song. It's the dichotomy, the better than the
It is great.
So if you're taking him without Nana, I'm going to put him at a... I'd actually put Moxley slightly above him. Swerve just, for whatever reason, doesn't massively do it for me, so I'm going to say 4.
4?
Yeah.
Okay. Samoa Joe. Because you've got 1 and 2 left.
Yeah, I don't think he's really... I wouldn't even say he's a WWE, because he's TNA for me. Like, Joe, I'm going to say 2. But I think he's been great wherever he's gone. He's done what he needed to do.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So who's he's one?
Quite consistent. Yeah, so this is your fave.
The best.
Adam Cole.
You know what? I say, I never watch him in WWE, but I quite like his theme music. Okay, it's all about that boom, baby. I've actually, like, on stage said, like, it's time for story time with Raul Cole, baby. I've copied that a little bit. I think he's been very unfortunate with a lot of his injuries. You know, there's a lot going on there, but I think I've really liked what he's done with the MJF Better Than You, baby.
That was for me
one of the best storylines to go in. I think MJF, I think Hangman Adam Page, I think these are my favourites. It was, like, all the original sort of folk. So, I think I'm actually quite happy with that. I maybe would have swapped Swerve and Moxley, because I just feel I've got more connection to Moxley from his time in WWE than I did with Swerve. I didn't really get to know Swerve as much. And then when he came over, I still think he's amazing. I just think he's too serious.
Fair.
Do you know what I mean? Like, he's very, very serious, that man. And I want to see him through a bit more of, like, I think that's what, like, it's Nana that makes him in that regard. And FTR are having that with Stokesley. I'm a comic, do you know what I mean? Stokesley, he's not from WWE, but I put Stokesley above every one of them. He cracks me up every single time. Some of his tweets, I'm like laughing out loud on my own just reading his tweets.
What about the Rizzler? Where would you put him?
The Rizzler? The Costco guy.
Where do they go on the list?
He's somewhere in the middle, to be fair. He's brought fresh eyes to WWE.
That is the one thing I saw AEW doing, like, I might watch. When I saw the Rizzler up on the ropes going,
yes, it's stuff like that. I love when is it West Side Gun when he turns up? I was like, when Rick Ross came in and just started that made me laugh like mad. Like, I like when these sorts of outsiders come in and make wrestling.
You know what? It is good AEW. It's just like I just don't get around to watching it.
We know why.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
We appreciate you. Please do go see Raul on tour or around the country. He's an amazing comedian. Please do that. This week's episode has been joined by the Fluffy Boys. Our amazing guest, Raul. Raul.
No, you got it right.
I keep putting a H in it because I know you from before you changed your name. As always, I've been ahead of the table. As always, I've been ahead of the table. Sakisa, join us for a brand new episode. Follow us on Instagram. Follow us on all your major platforms for podcasts. This has been Wrestle Club UK Podcast. Wrestle Club Podcast.
A flying clothesline, a 2x4 to the face. Then she hits you with a turnbuckle splash. Wrestle Club Podcast with Sakisa. It's her and her friends, and they talk about wrestling, every kind of wrestling. Woo!